you want to flip, you can. But it's 2 Timothy 2:15. And of course, on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about, I can't even remember all the A's anymore, I don't think. We did appreciating the Bible, approaching the Bible, absorbing the Bible, and now analyzing the Bible. I did remember them all. Wow. Surprised myself. But anyway, we've been on analyzing the Bible the last 2 weeks, and then, of course, I skipped last Wednesday night. I was backslidden, and I had the stomach bug, amen. And so Brother Derek filled in for me, and then, but back on it tonight, and but we're still talking about analyzing the Bible, and I guess 3 weeks ago, or 4 weeks ago now, we did browsing a book. And, of course, browsing a book, in a nutshell, you'd want to sit down and read the whole book from in one sitting. Now, obviously, there would be several of them that would take a while. But that's how you would browse a book. Like, I hate to use the word casual, because I think we ought to be, you know, a little bit more in tune than just casual. But browsing a book is just basically reading the book and just seeing what pops out. And like I told you, I think maybe last time I preached on this, was that there's no bad way to study the Bible. Don't think, okay, I can't remember all that, Pastor, I'm gonna fail in my Bible study. No, you're not, okay? These are just ideas. These are just things that I'll throw out there. You don't have to do them all. And I think I said that if you'll just learn one or two little nuggets of, on how-tos through all these and add them to your Bible study, it'll be a blessing. And then, you know, again, it talks about, you know, maybe a baby Christian, just like a baby needs milk. And Paul kind of alluded that to the church at Corinth and said, you know, y'all are kind of baby Christians. And, you know, you're on the milk of the Word. And what he was saying was, that's fine. Praise the Lord for baby Christians. Baby Christians, they might still slip and say a word that they shouldn't say. A baby Christian might not be as faithful to church as they should be. A baby Christian might not have you know, personal standards or convictions in their life yet and things like that. They just do whatever. Why? Because they're a baby Christian. They don't know any better. But we saw the one verse, I wouldn't have you be ignorant, brethren. All right? God doesn't want us to stay there. In other words, in life, we ought to mature. A person doesn't mature, I guess, physically. They have some type of handicap. If they do not progress mentally, they have some type of, they're slow in an area or some type of retardation. It's not developing right, things like that. And so, but we won't have those mental issues or those physical issues in our Christian growth. Unless we do what the devil tells us to do. But anyway, so we're supposed to study, we're supposed to read the Bible, and we're supposed to do that. So we're talking about browsing through a book. So just, lack of a better term, casually read through the whole book in one sitting or just one time before you start somewhere else. That's browsing through a book. Kind of get the gist of it in your mind. And then we saw charting a chapter. So in other words, if there's some books that's only got one chapter in it, Jude and so forth, and one of the 3 John, I believe it is, and so forth. And so there's some that only have one chapter. But there are some that have multiple chapters. So in other words, you would take that browse of the whole book, and now you're going to chart the chapter. You're going to break it down. And that's what we talked about the last time we talked about this. Now tonight, we're talking about probing a paragraph. All right. So you saw browsing the book, charting a chapter. Now we're going to probe, to keep the P's in there, probe a paragraph. In other words, we're going to break it down a little bit even smaller. And so a lot of times if you're learning a subject in school, that's what they're going to do. They're going to start small. And then you're going to take some quizzes and things like that and see what you recall from what you've been taught or what you read about. And then they're going to add another sequence to it. And then maybe you'll take a quiz and it'll basically see if you recall from both of those chapters and things like that. So same thing here in the Bible study, we can break it down. In other words, if somebody says, okay, sit down and start reading in Genesis 1 and don't stop till you're in Revelation 22, go. All right, most of us would fall asleep before we got out of chapter 1 of Genesis, most likely. So that's maybe, it's kind of like, you know, cut that up. My wife told me about this. I don't have social media, but she does. She says there's this thing right now that's going crazy where the women are setting up their recorded their phone and on record at the table, and they're trying to keep up with their husband as they're eating. Anybody saw this yet? Okay. All right. So I mean, it's, I don't know that there's any of them that's done it yet. You know, so, you know, because dudes, we're a little, you know, caveman mentality. We're a little bit of a carnivore. You know, like she laughed. The reason she told me that, we were eating Taco Bell the other night, and I think it was like half my burrito left. And I was like, just put the whole rest of it in there. She's like, and I was like, what? She said, you just pushed the whole, you know, half a burrito. And I was like, well, save time. You know, I chewed it up, swallowed it. And so she told me about that, and she's like, I could not keep up with you because I do take huge bites. She always makes fun of me the way I eat McDonald's fries. You know, you got that little pouch. And, you know, one fry at a time? Who's got time for that? All right? And I don't dip. All right? So I just get me a handful. And so I like, you know, work them around. If there's one sticking off this way, I just put a whole big old, you know, handful of fries in my mouth. And she's a one fry at a time lady. And things like that. So same thing here. We're not saying, you know, cram your mouth full where you can't swallow and you choke yourself. You know, we're not telling you to take in that much Bible. We want to, you know, again, I think if you do eat too fast sometimes, get stuck right there, right? Give me something to drink. It's right there. Well, if you'd have chewed smaller bites, you might not be getting it hung right there, okay? And then some people, you know, everybody else is gone taking a shower and in bed and you're still in there. You're eating one little green bean at a time or a pea at a time. You know, you're slow. And so we get it. So that's what we're talking about here in Bible study. We're not trying to get you to get upset stomach and put too much in there and try to digest it and things like that. We want to take it methodical. So we saw browse the book. We saw chart a chapter. Now we're going to probe a paragraph. And we're in 2 Timothy 2:15. And of course, I know the context here. Obviously, Paul is telling young Timothy, a young preacher boy, and he said, now look, you know, a lot of preacher boys, they want to be a preacher so they can yell at everybody. That looks fun. He's up there and he's pointing his finger and he's yelling at everybody and he's telling them where they ought to get off and all that stuff. Now, that's not why you need to be a preacher. I don't like doing that. All right? I have to preach what God tells me to preach, but I'm not up here to be your dictator and say, bless God. You know, that's not me. All right? I'm going to preach the Word of God and it's between you and God what you do. He's not saying, Timothy, you know, you get in the ministry so you can scream and yell. No, that's not it. Or you can be, you know, the head of the church. No, well, Christ is the head of the church. You know, we're the under shepherd, okay? So that's what I'm saying. A lot of people is like, well, I want to do that. And again, there's some, you know, obviously God takes care of the ministers and the preachers and things like that. And so, but I don't know that anybody's getting rich. It's just got just tons of money in the bank account by being in the ministry. So he's not saying that. But you're supposed to divide this book. You're supposed to study it and see what the, you know, one in context and deliver it. And so just like food, somebody that say, you know, a food preparer, I'm not sure what it, sushi, they don't cook it. All right, most of it. They just lay it out there raw and things like that. You know, but I like mine a little bit warmer than that and so forth. But and there's different types of food. So just like that. So, but he's saying, okay, Timothy, when you come to the Bible, study to show thyself approved there in verse 15. So again, you're supposed to study to show thyself approved. You know, don't be I believe the Bible calls it, there's several verses in there, don't be a hireling is one place. In other words, don't just do it for the money. Don't just get up there and, you know, not go, you know, to another type of job just so you can get money. Don't be a hireling. You know, study. It says here, prove thyself approved unto God. God's the one that's going to give you that stamp of approval. You don't study and prepare for yourself. You don't study and prepare for those that's listening to you. You study and prepare for God. And God will say, okay, that's right. All right, rightly divide that. Say this. Put this out there. So then it says here, a workman. So it does take work. And again, it just, you know, I know today, and I've said this, and I've heard out there, I don't know how to do it, but, you know, of course, you can get AI assistants out there today, and I could say, you know, write me a sermon on probing a paragraph. And lo and behold, it would print out. Okay, I you know, but it says to work at it. That's not working. That's cheating. You know, it's just like, you know, playbook. If you have somebody else's playbook, that's cheating. You tell your defense, okay, this is what they're going to run and this is what they're going to do. So go get in this spot, go get in this spot, intercept that, pick that pass off, or throw this, and we'll beat them. Why? Because we have their playbook. That's cheating. And so he's like here, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. And this is here, that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And according to God, those people that read this book and they're like, God's lost his mind. You know, I don't agree with that. So I'm just going to tell the people this. That's not rightly dividing. And it says that they ought to be ashamed of themselves. And there's people out there that have my title and they'll say something, nah, just do what you want to. Live like you want to. It doesn't really matter. Just, you know, be good and have fun. Okay? That's not rightly dividing. To get to heaven, just give me some money, or give the church some money, or get baptized, and you'll make it. That's not rightly dividing. The Bible says nothing about all that. It says you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then thou shalt be saved. So we've got to say what the Bible says. So he's telling Timothy, you need to study. So now, the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. He preserved this book for us. So even though we might not be in young Timothy's position, we all still should study. Why? Here's some other verses. Proverbs 22:6. This is for the adults in here that have kids. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child. Okay, so you don't need to be winging child rearing either. You know, I just winged it through life. I winged it through school. You know, straight D's, but I made it. I winging it at work. I don't ever get a promotion. I've never gotten a raise, but I'm just winging it. So here's a kid. We're just going to wing it. The Bible says we're supposed to train them up and in the way they should go. And so if we're going to do that, we're going to have to know what to teach them. So just like he was telling Timothy, you need to study the Bible because you're the preacher and you're going to be preaching to the people. You need to know your stuff. And I heard this in college. It says, know your stuff. Know who you're stuffing and stuff them. All right, that was a great thing. I said, oh, I got to write that down. I said, can you say that again? He's like, yeah, know your stuff, know who you're stuffing, and stuff them. Okay, for instance, stuff like that we're talking about tonight, I would not do this in a junior church setting. They'd be looking at me like, Brother Bobby, what are you talking about? All right, I would be a little bit more animated in there, maybe talk about Daniel in the lion's den or Noah in the ark or, you know, I would. Because I need to know who I'm preaching to. Okay? And then stuff them. And so that's what he said. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And I've heard people question this verse. You know, I had people raise their hand in Bible college and say, well, I know of a pastor's son. He was raised right. He was taken to church. And he's a drug addict, or he's in prison, or he never goes to church anymore. So that verse is a lie. Train up a child in the way he should go. The preacher's kid definitely had got trained up, but now he's departed from it. All right? And the answer that I thought of, and the teacher, praise the Lord, the one teacher said the right thing. Anyway, I won't get into the teacher that didn't say the right thing. But he said, look, wherever that person is, if he was trained up in the way he should go, wherever he pillows his head at night, whether it is in jail, whether it be under a bridge somewhere because he's homeless and on drugs, the way is still there. He can't get away from it. So you teach that kid that Jesus is the only way to heaven, he can't get away from that. You teach that kid that if you don't honor God, you can expect some punishment. Expect some curses in your life. Expect some hardship. The Bible says a way of a transgressor is hard. So if you're going to live a life of sin, expect it. Wham, wham, wham. It's just going to come. And obviously, Job didn't do wrong, and he had all those whams, but he had God to help him through it, and so forth. And so you can train up that child in the way it should go if you study. You got to know your stuff, know who you're stuffing, and stuff them. 2 Timothy 3.15. 2 Timothy 3.15 says here, and that from a child. So this kid had a parent or two that was teaching him, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So this parent was doing what Proverbs 22:6 said. They studied. They knew their stuff. They knew their kid. You know, some of you don't really know your kid. Well, my kid's perfect. My kid would never. Not my kid. Oh, yes, they would. They're sinners, okay? But that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And so we have had some kids last year get saved, get baptized. And the reason being, their parents taught them. They brought them to church. They heard in a Sunday school class. They came and they heard in kids' club. And then they came and they heard in church. That from a child, they've heard the Scripture. That people that studied it, and we're giving it to them. And it says here, it made them wise unto salvation. And I have a sermon that I preached. I think I preached it here. But it'll also make you wise unto a whole lot of other stuff. Not just salvation. And so then it says here, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Romans 10:17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so how can we increase our faith? Hearing the Bible. How do we hear the Bible? Somebody studied it, and they give it to us. And that's how that our faith grows. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So in other words, somebody studied, somebody taught, I got saved, I wanted to grow, I started drinking the milk of the Word, and then maybe even chewing the Word, and found out if I'll read it myself and hide that Word in my heart, when that temptation is there, I know the verse says, yeah, every man is tempted when he's drawn away on his own lust and enticed. Everybody's going to be tempted. Then it goes on to say, but with that temptation, God gives you a way of escape. And so if somebody studied, taught me the Word of God, I hid it in my heart, that temptation came up, hey, do this. It'd be a blast. Yeah, it might be a blast. There's pleasure in sin for a season. Oh, there's a nugget. But at the end, there's judgment. I've hid that in my heart, so I'm going to choose not to do that. And so, again, we see here, study, then train, and then hide, and increase my faith. Here's the last one. Colossians 4:6. Colossians 4:6, it says here, let your speech be always. It's kind of one, like, I'm with you always. They don't put the S on there. It kind of goes against my grain there a little bit. But the Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So, I'll just wing Christian life. I'm not going to study. Well, if you're going to have a kid, you're going to need to study. If you're going to hide the Word of God in your heart, you're going to need to study. If you're going to be able to know how to answer every man, you're going to have to study a little bit. And so we all need the Bible, and those are just some verses that I wrote down that kind of goes along with this probing a paragraph. And I actually have, I'm not going to give it to you now because you'll be looking at this instead of listening to me, but I actually have an example of a paragraph that has been probed. And I'll give that to you at the end of the service. So anyway, so we're looking at analyzing the Bible, probing a paragraph. We won't take time about browsing the book and the charting the chapter and more, but we're probing the paragraph. Now, I'll read this statement. It says here, in the original writings, of course, you know, somebody's like, well, you know, I only believe it if I see it in the originals. Well, nobody in this day and time has ever seen the originals. But we do know that God says that forever, O Lord, His word is settled in heaven. And He said He will preserve it for us and things like that. But back when they first started writing the Bible, of course, we know it was maybe on maybe a scroll, an animal skin type thing and so forth. And then the scribes, they would copy it out. This scroll would get wore out, so they'd copy a new one, kind of like what we do. This gets wore out, so we go down to the bookstore when we buy us a new one. And so things like that. But back then, they didn't have the money that we have. They didn't have the technology that we had. They didn't have the education that we had, things like that. And so things were not broken up. There wasn't paragraphs. There weren't chapters. There weren't even breaks in between a sentence. It was just like touching. And so when they read it, it was all like that. And so they just had to focus on that. And so that's how they would do it. They didn't break it into to verses. They didn't break it into things like that. Why? Because that's a blank space, and we got to fill up every space. It takes too much to get this these letters down. It takes too much to get a piece of material that we can write on. It takes too much. We're not going to do that. And so there were not blank spaces. The wide margin, that would have freaked them out. And I've even seen a Bible with a blank page in between each page. so you can take notes. That would have really messed them up. Oh, that's wasting money. Things like that. But back then. But nowadays, obviously when King James and his men translated it from the Greek to the and the Hebrew to into the English language, obviously we have broke up things like that. We have chapters and so forth. But the material, it was there. But we're going to look at probing a paragraph. And if you want to write this down, it's kind of a, you don't hear this phrase all, but it's called textual recreation. Textual recreation. And basically that's just a big word and a big educated sounding word to just write it down. All right? Probing a paragraph. One way to probe a paragraph is to write it. You're like, man, back in school? Yeah. What did they make you do to those spelling words? Write your spelling words three times. What were they trying to do? Teach you how to spell. All right? And some of you can still remember those words that you missed, and you're like, ugh! But it stuck in there, and you made up little things to remember it, and you sounded it out, and you used helpful hints and things like that, but you learned. But writing down something, if you're going to give a speech, the best way, one of the best ways to do it is just write it several times. I know how to say, thou shalt not, no, I will not throw paper across the room, especially at the teacher. All right, I may have written that 100 times or so. So I know how to say that. Why? Because textual recreation helps it stick. Some people have what we call photographic memories. And you're like, what in the world? In other words, when you're saying, okay, I can see that verse. You know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's about three-fourths way down on the right-hand side, on the right page, it's right there. And they can recreate that in their mind just because by reading it. So when you're browsing a book, that's helping you. But also, if you just write it out, those scribes, they knew the Bible. Why? Because that was their job, to copy it. Okay, this parchment's getting wore out. It's getting holes in it. We're going to have to do away with this, so we need to write a new copy. And so as they wrote it, I mean, were they getting it all? No, but it was helping them. So when you're probing a paragraph, one way to do it is just textual recreation. In other words, write it down. And then, if you're good at this, if you're not good at this, don't, because it'll frustrate you. But if you're good at making an outline, after you've written the paragraph down, then outline the paragraph. And there's books that's been outlined like that, things like that. And some people are very good at making outline. Okay, they say, okay, here's the person, and this is what he was saying, and blah, 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 blah. And they break it down. Way to probe a paragraph. Then here's another one. Visualize what the text is saying and how it is saying it. And I got a few things underneath that. So visualize. In other words, I have visualized Daniel in the lion's den. I've been right there seeing it. Okay, and so forth. Why? Because you try to visualize it. You try to visualize you in that situation. What would you do? That helps you remember. You're probing that paragraph. So visualize the text and what it's saying and how it's saying it. Here's a couple things that'll help you underneath that. List repetitions. List repetitions. There's a chapter in the Bible where it says that his mercy is new every morning. Or his mercy endureth forever. And then you read a couple more verses, and his mercy endureth forever. And then you read a couple more verses, his mercy endureth forever. And so if I was probing that paragraph, I'd be like, duh. All right, I'm trying to get something out of this paragraph right here. I'm thinking his mercy endureth forever. And so forth. So you look at repetitions. Then you look at also comparisons. The book of Proverbs is really good at this. And again, if you read a proverb a day, you'll start doing a comparison. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. Now compare that with this right here. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. All right? So in other words, if you put God first in your life, the Bible says He'll add all things unto you. Matthew 6:33. So if you put God first, then He's just going to give you what you need when you need it. Now if you put yourself first, and you could care less about God, the Bible talks about kicking it against the pricks. The way of a transgressor is hard. So compare that. If I do this, God will be pleased and He'll bless. But if I do this, God's not going to be pleased and He's going to curse. And so compare that. And so when you're probing that paragraph, look at what it says. Okay, God will do this if you do this, but this is what's going to happen in your life if you don't. And so list some compare. So we're trying to visualize what it's saying and how it's saying it. So we're going to list repetitions. We're going to list comparisons. And here's another one, list progressions. List progressions. We saw one while ago, Proverbs 22. Train up a child in the way he should go. Okay, the progression was I grabbed something back here that wasn't even in the verse. If I'm going to train up a child, I'm going to have to know my stuff. I'm going to have to study. So here's the progression. Study so you can train. And then you train, and then what's going to happen? When he gets old, he won't be able to get away from it. There's the progression. So if we're looking at the paragraph, even if, you know, it's kind of like in school, with it, it's an understood you. Huh? I don't understand that. Well, it's an understood you. Because there's not a subject in there, so it's talking about you. It's talking to you, so it's just understood. Okay. But anyway, so same thing here. If there's a train up, we have to look. Okay, if I'm going to train somebody, I got to know what I'm teaching them. So we find that. So list of comparisons. And so in doing that, you can write this down if you want to. You don't have to. Obviously, when you're doing an outline or you're doing if you're writing something down, you'll use indentions. In other words, something will pop out. Okay, this, you know, to whom it may concern. That's usually indented. You know, hey, you. All right. That's letting you know, okay, then I'm going to give you the body. This is what I'm going to be saying to you, but I'm telling you. All right, so use indentions. Here's another one, underline. And some people like to underline. Some people like to highlight. You know, you're a red, green, orange, blue, pink highlighter. You're a highlighting machine. All right, so these are things to do that. So use indentions when you're doing your comparisons and your outlines, things like that. Use underlining. Use highlighting. And here's some. Use arrows. All right, well, this right here, the reason I think this is because back up here. It's letting me know, hey, this is why the conclusion is because of this. So use arrows. So you're basically probing a chapter. And so then what you do, once you've done all that, you do what we call observe. In other words, see what you've written down. Go back and say, well, why did I write that down? Why did I underline that? Why did I, you know, it's kind of like I said Sunday, find out what the therefore is there for. You know, all these verses up here say, you know, this is what God will do for you. Therefore, I'm going to do this, so I'll get all that. It's in that verse up there. So when you're looking at it, you observe what you've done. And then, of course, maybe at the bottom, by looking at what you've outlined or looking at what you've written down or look at what you've underlined, maybe you record some observations and you compare your findings and you research conclusions or you search conclusions and things like that. And so a lot of times when I'm probing a paragraph in this book and all of a sudden something will pop out like that that's a truth, the Holy Spirit will bring into my mind another place that is in the Bible. And so you maybe call that cross-referencing. And we'll get into that in another one later. But just that truth. So what each part says and how each part is related. So we're looking at probing a paragraph. So how to probe a paragraph. Here's the 1, 2, 3s. Okay, that was just the introduction. So I got to give you the 1, 2, 3s real fast. Number one, the core of the long sentence. The core of the long sentence. In other words, so I'm going to look for that sentence. Some of you love to diagram sentences. Some of you want to run out the back door that I just even said it. Okay, so what you're doing, you're looking for the subject. You're looking for the main core. What all the rest of the paragraph's talking about. So I'm looking for that core sentence, the main sentence. And so sometimes you can find it. In that, you'll find the main subject. Sometimes it's an understood you. Sometimes it's understood that it's God. Sometimes it's understood that it's the Savior. But I'm looking for that main subject, the who this is about, who it's to, all that stuff. And then the main verb, what are they doing or what are they saying? And so I'm looking for that. Sorry to bring English into it. And then you look for the main object. Okay, what are they talking about? What are they doing and why are they doing it? And then you have the indirect object. How does it apply to me? Things like that. So when you're probing a paragraph, find the core sentence, what all the other truths are hanging on. And there's a verse in the Bible that says that. You know, if you love God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, you know, this is the first and greatest commandment, that we ought to love God. And your second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. And then the next verse it says, and hang all the other ones on those two. And so that's what we're doing. We're looking for the main thing, and we can hang all the truth in the context of that paragraph on that one sentence. So number two, second thing we should do, find the core sentence, the core of the long sentence. And then number two, the truths that are related to the core. The truths that are related to the core. And so if you were here Sunday night, Brother Tarrant did a good job, and his sermon was very similar to what I'm talking about right here. In other words, he found the main thing, right? And then when he make his points, he would show you in a verse where we erred, or where we did that, and it was basically giving oomph, giving meat, giving substance to his main point. All right, and that's what you do when you probe a paragraph, and a lot of preachers, that's what their outline will be like. So you find truths that relate to that main subject, that main core. In doing that, so when we place each one of these phrases of sentences in a proper relationship to the core, we'll see that the passage starts unfolding. And of course, that was what we saw in his sermon Sunday night, that the truth just unfolded. And it was very, very good, very good. And so then second thing, when we probe that paragraph and we find the main sentence and we find some truth relating to it, the first half of the paragraph will describe the context of the message. And then most of the time, the second part will basically tell you how you need to apply it. And that's what it'll do. So number three, and we've already mentioned this one, but how to probe a paragraph. We find the main sentence. We find some truth related to it. And then thirdly, we look at that progression, and we all saw it. If we study and know our stuff, we train up a child, then when he's old, he will not depart. So we find that, and so the person of the point, the message of the truth, and then how it applies to me. And then number four, we already mentioned this a little bit too, is the repetitions. In other words, that's why a kid that's been raised by a parent, the parent can go to say something, and the kid can usually go, I know, I know, I know, I know. Why? Because they've heard it, and they've heard it, and they've heard it. All right, and so forth. And so it's repetition. That's what we got to do. And again, and sometimes I would tell my boys this: I know you've heard it before, but I'm going to say it again. Why? Because you haven't grasped it yet. It's kind of like the preacher that was voted in as a pastor. He gets up Sunday, preaches a sermon. Everybody, well, Pastor, that was a great sermon. You did a good job. And thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. And that night, he preached the same sermon. And they were like, I wonder if he forgot. That was good again. Wednesday night comes. He preached the same sermon. And like, Pastor, do you realize that you're preaching the same sermon? Next Sunday morning, preached the same sermon. And they were like, is that the only sermon you know? He said, no, I'm just waiting on y'all to get it. And when y'all get it and start doing it, I'll go to another one. All right? And so that's exactly what the paragraph here that gives that truth. And why is there so much repetition? Because God knows that we're but dust. He remembers our frame. So He's going to say it and say it and say it. And so that repetition is there. Next, here's another one when you're probing a paragraph. Find the time reference. Find the time reference. In other words, like when. And there's several of them in the Bible. We have examples of in the beginning. All right, that was in the beginning. That was a time reference. We have eternal life. In other words, that's going to be forever. And we have, there's going to be the end of this body. There's going to be the end of sin. There's going to be the end of the devil. There's going to be the end of this world and the heaven now. And new ones will be created. There's timetables. You even have B.C., before Christ. A.D., after his death. We have timetables that we can look at. We have times of war and times of peace. So we can be like, why was God teaching them this? Because war was going on. I mean, it was crazy stuff going on. So this is why he was teaching it, because of all the unrest that was going on. I mean, obviously preachers of our day have said, look, what's going on? there was a attack on Israel. It could happen, and it could, all right? But what, I'm not going to stop doing what I'm supposed to do just because it could. I'm supposed to be busy doing what I'm supposed to be doing till He does come. You know, a lot of people are like, well, you know, Jesus is coming tomorrow. Why? No, that's what the devil wants you to do. No, keep doing what you're supposed to do, even if it is looking close. All right, so timetable, war and peace. If you read through the Old Testament, you saw time of captivity and time of freedom. Okay, they were in bondage, and then they were loose. So find out what God's teaching them in this paragraph because they were in captivity. How could I make it through captivity? Or here's freedom, but what should I do during that time? There was times of blessings and there was times of famine. Find the timetable. Here's number six and last one. Word studies within the chapter. In other words, if there is a word that pops out, find, you know, if you know, that's what usually happens. You know, I'll start on one thing and then I'll pew, pew. You know, and some people are like that. I don't know if you know the comment, you know, like, pay attention, squirrel. All right. I think it's a dog, right? He's supposed to be paying attention. Hey, pay attention, squirrel. All right. And so sometimes that's the way it is. You know, of course, you know, stay focused, and so you can teach your stuff. But anyway, there's other studies that can come out of probing a paragraph. So, example, we can see fellowship or word of life or something like that. So in conclusion, I'm going to read you the conclusion, and then we'll pray, and I'll give you your little paper. And I'm going to give you a grade next Sunday. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So, conclusion. Who is the main person of the paragraph? This is what we're finding out of all that. What are the repeated words and phrases and thoughts? What is the interminglings of the testimony of the person or the aspirations of the person or the challenge of the person? So, when I find that out, I ought to see what's going on and how he's testifying or and here's what he aspires me to learn, and things like that. Make a list of strong words. In other words, they're truths. They just jump off the page and smack you upside the head. Make a list of connecting words that connect all the phrases. Because the Bible says, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, every jot, every tittle. God put it in there for a reason. So find that out. Find the positional truth. Find the experimental truth. Truth. And so I'm going to try this and see if it works. The Bible says, try the spirits. The Bible says, God says to us, hey, prove me. I said I'll do this, prove me. And so we can look and say, well, the Bible says this, I'm going to try that out. It's kind of like, you know, I've heard people testify, the Bible says tithe. What's a tithe? It's a tithe, and you're supposed to give 10%. I can't afford to do that. And this breaks, and this breaks, and this breaks, but they started tithing. And this lasted longer, and this lasted longer, and this lasted longer. And they found the verse where it says, if we do tithe, God will bless. If we don't, it's like we have holes in our pockets. Can't get ahead. I'm gonna try this out. So that's what we're doing. We're looking for the truth that we can experiment with. find that core sentence. Find some small phrases that back it up, give it some strength, and write it down. And then basically tell yourself, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? That's how you probe a paragraph. So let's have a word of prayer, and I'll be at the back with your little example of a probed paragraph. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for the commands in the Bible that we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto you. And then we're supposed to train somebody, whether it be a friend, or whether it be a child, or whether it be a neighbor. Train them how that they can be saved. We have the information. So Lord, help us to know our stuff. And Lord, I just ask you to be with us now, Lord. Help us to just try new things and be excited about studying the Word of God. And just like we were told growing up, it's all in how you look at it. If you think you look at it as drudgery or I have to do this, it's not going to be any fun. But Lord, if we're excited about seeking your Word like a hidden treasure, and being thirsty and being hungry, Lord, it'll come alive, and it'll help us in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you are dismissed.